God is so good to us.
All the time.
All the time. Last week was Mother's Day. And we started our Mother's Day service. And we're going to finish it today. Amen?
Amen.
Some of y'all are looking like you really want to do this. And some of y'all are going, okay, we can handle that. I'm just playing. Kind of. All right. I did another search this week. And before we start reading this, I did another search. And there's no Jewish proverb. This old Jewish proverb says God couldn't be everywhere, so he created mothers. You ever heard that Jewish proverb? Okay. So I was looking at that last week, and so I took down some more notes. I didn't know I was going to do a part two until last week, so I got some more stuff here. And so the thing is, why did God make mothers? Y'all ready? This is, they got to understand this now. This comes from a second grade class. These are second graders that actually answered these questions, okay? Number one, why did God make mothers? Number one, she's the only one that knows where the Scotch tape is. Remember, this is second graders. Number two, most of them clean the house. My favorite is, I had to go through these and take some of this out. To help us out, remember being born. That definitely comes in handy. Thanks, Mom. All right. Number, next question. How did God make mothers? All right. Here we go. He used dirt, just like the rest of us. Number two, magic plus superpowers and a little stirring. Number three, God made mom the same like he made me, just bigger parts. Okay, that's pretty cool for a second grader. That's got, now here we go, this is my favorite. What are the ingredients that mothers are made of, okay? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice. And one dad would mean. Okay, that needs balance, okay? Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? Second graders, number one was, we're related. Number two, God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like.
Uh-uh.
All right. What kind of little girl was your mom? My mom has always been a mom, and none of that other stuff. Number two, I don't know, I wasn't there. But my guess is she was pretty bossy. This is my favorite. They say she used to be nice. Oh, this is awesome. Here's another Spanish proverb. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. That's a Spanish proverb. So, here's another good one. Why did your mom marry your dad? My dad makes the best spaghetti in the world. My mom eats a lot. Your eating is getting better. She's getting too old to do anything else with him. Here's my favorite. My grandma says that mom didn't have her thinking cap on. Oh, that's cool. Okay. What would it take to make your mom perfect? On the inside, she's already perfect. Isn't that cool? Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? Ready? She has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I get rid of that. Number two, I think my mom's smarter. Then she would know that it was my sister who did it, and not me. And number three, I would like her to get rid of those invisible eyes in the back of her head. Okay. And then the teacher wrote, I'd like to be the ideal mom, but I'm too busy raising my kids. Let's give the moms around here a hand. This is really awesome. Oh, God is so, so good to us. Now, last week, I'm not going to keep you long on each one like I did last week. Last week, I felt like there was a need to stop in camp for a while. We're not stopping camp this week, so that's going to make it good because I wanted to just do 7 moms, but I couldn't. It was just impossible. So I went ahead and done 10 moms. So you know, there's a picture of all the moms. and this is life lessons from women of the Bible. And of course, this is part two. So really, life lessons. Now we can learn some very rich lessons from people in the Bible, especially women. I hear people say, you know, and I used to think this 2 years ago, the Old Testament is nothing but history. New Testament is just a bunch of laws. You know, and once I got saved and when I started reading the Bible, I said, man, was I wrong. The Old Testament is just as rich as the New Testament. And what it is the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. They both complement each other so, so good. And the all 66 books, the common thread is grace. Grace is through all of them. Okay? So we're going to talk about some of the things. And here's something that we did last week, so I won't keep you there long. Even before she ate the forbidden fruit, she saw it was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and desired to make one wise. So she ate the fruit, the forbidden fruit. And then Adam ate with her, and then God might have kicked them out of the garden. And so the lesson to learn here is for all of us, these are lessons we all learn, not just moms, all learn. What you do or don't do affects more than you ever could imagine. Think about it. What you do or what you don't do can really make a difference in this world. And of course, we thank God for Genesis 3:15, for God said, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. All right. Then the next one was Sarah. And Sarah actually found out that, you know, in Genesis 21, Sarah found out that a 90-year-old woman could have a baby. Amen? So, again, don't ever think it is too late for God to keep his promises. Whatever God's promised you, make sure it's God's promise now. Whatever God promised you, you're going to get it. And the thing she found out is that she needed to quit trying to help him. Because then along came Ishmael, and that was a problem. So then, we're all paying for it right now. Every last one of us are paying for it. Okay. So now, the next person was Hagar. We talked about her last week. And this was, she winds up hurt because Ishmael was making fun of Isaac. Sarah said, get rid of her, so she might have gone in the desert. But what she found out was that even then, God was watching it. When you feel like you're rejected, when you feel like you're cast away, God still sees, and God still responds. Why? Because he's been there. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that he was despised and rejected. So then, the next one, where we stopped last week, was Rebecca. Rebecca, Genesis 24, she wound up being in the bloodline of Christ. And what happened was, when the servant went to find a bride for Isaac, he said, Lord, send somebody that not only would ask her for water, not only would she water me, but she'll water the camels. Long story short, I'm not going to ask her to water the camels. She's got to do it herself. It was a 6-hour job to water all those camels. And it was very tedious and stressful. But God blesses those who give it all they got. If you're giving it all you've got today, God's watching, and you might not see it right away, but I tell you what, it's coming. And when you give it all you got, no matter how much it costs you, that's when you're being more like the Savior, just as you've ever been like the Savior. That's a little bit further now. Like I said, I'm trying not to dwell on these today. Now, J.L., what's going on is Israel's in a fight with Canaan, and General Sisera is coming after Israel. Now, they've already taken out the army, but Sisera's still living. If you let a general live, you know what's going to happen. He's going to raise up another army. He's going to come back because those guys won't stop fighting. And so J.L., she winds up calling her and calling him a 2 or 10, and she let him down because she said, you got to be tired. She couldn't fight this big man. And this big man had escaped all of this other stuff. They couldn't get him. He was just so powerful. So she lays him down, and when he goes to sleep, I notice it's going to sound kind of rough, but she takes a nail, and she puts it right here, and she drives it through his head into the floor. Kind of tough, isn't it? But guess what? I don't want to know the meaning. I can tell you. But the thing was, back, especially right then, was, look, here's the lesson. Sometimes you got to fight. Even when the fight seems one-sided, and they were the one-sided part, the Canaanites. And sometimes the way you fight is going to be unconventional. There's no way she could have fought him any other way. So she drove that peg into his head. It's kind of like what you say now, you nail that. You know where you got it from? There's where it came from. Did you get him? I nailed him. There's what happened. Amen. I hope y'all haven't nailed anybody in their head lately. Amen. Remember, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord in Zechariah 4:6. Then Naomi, now I do want to read this. It's in Ruth, turn your Bible to Ruth chapter 4. It's very important. Ruth, come on. It's there, I know it, there it is. It's just before Samuel.
Hi.
Ruth, chapter 4. Let me just say something about Ruth. Ruth, because of the way things had happened, there was a famine, they had left Bethlehem, and they were dwelling in Moab. While they're in Moab, her husband dies, and both of her sons die. And so here she is, she's a hopeless, helpless woman, without any kind of redemption whatsoever. And so she changed her name from Naomi to Mara, which is bitter. And she just thought life had just dealt her a bitter blow, and then God had forgot about her. And so she heard there was bread in Jerusalem, so she's going in Bethlehem, so she's going back to Bethlehem. And when she goes back to Bethlehem, Ruth, who's a Moabitess, says, I'm going to go with you. She says, no, you stay here. We've got, I don't have another son to raise up the kinsman redeemer, so you're going to wind up being childless, and it's just not going to be good. She says, no, entreat me not to leave you or return from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Let me just give a little note here. Whenever I'm doing this in a web rehearsal, and it's the rehearsal, and everybody's nervous, I'll say it and get them to repeat after me. So this is the funny part. And it gets it every time. So I'll say, look at each other, not at me. Look at each other and say, now, I want y'all to say this. We're going pretty fast in rehearsal. I said, stop. It's real slow and easy. And I say, entreat me not to leave you, and they'll say that. And they're getting Google-eyed. And I'll say, entreat me not to follow you. And where you go, I will go. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Or your people shall be my people. And here's what I get them. And I'll say, and your in-laws. And they're into it. And they go, your in-laws. I'll say, shall be my outlaws. And they go, shall be my outlaws. And I go, wait a minute. And the next day in the ceremony, it's really funny because when we get to that part, they're looking real Google lines, and they get to that part and they start snickering. I don't ever say no in the real ceremony. Okay, so Ruth goes, and of course Boaz comes along, and she winds up with Naomi, winds up with Boaz, or Ruth winds up with Boaz, who winds up being kin to Naomi, and so he winds up being the kinsman redeemer. And here's the coolest part of all this. Let's read this. Ruth chapter 4, verse 14. Now this is after Ruth had had a son. Ruth had a son. And Ruth said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord who hath not led you this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which thou love, who loves thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse unto him. Listen to that. Became a nurse unto him. This woman in the old age, God opened her back up that she could nurse her grandchild. That's awesome. God restored life into her. And the women, her neighbors, gave her the name, saying, there is born a son of Naomi, and they shall call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, who is the father of David. Wow. Isn't that powerful? So, let me tell you, here it is. Here it goes. Sometimes dreams die. Amen? You ever had a dream die on you? But it's never too late to start again. And trust God to work out the details. Amen? That's Naomi. And then Esther, real quick. Esther, she winds up through God's way of handling things, she winds up queen. And they're trying to kill the Jews, of course. And so Haman's trying to kill the Jews because he can't stand the thought of them having any position whatsoever. And so her uncle comes to her and says, you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to call to the king and tell him what's going on. And she said, if I go before the king, even his wife, if I go before the king without being asked, I can be put to death. And he said, but if you don't go, your people may die, and you die too. He says, how do you know that you weren't born for such a time as this? Here it is. Here's the lesson. Sometimes you just got to go. You just got to go for it. Others are depending on you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? You can go a little further here. I'm just trying to keep it quick. Cut several widows in the Bible. The first widow was when Elijah, during the drought, God tells him the brook is dried up, and he tells him to go to Zarephath. Zarephath means to be tested by fire. And so he says, I've commanded a widow woman to take care of you. I have commanded her. She's already heard this. This woman has already heard God say, take care of the man of God. And in the Old Testament, that's literally taking care of God's business. Okay. So, when he gets there, he sees this woman. And he says, can I have some water? She says, yes. And he says, can I have a cake? And she says, all I've got left is a little handful of meal in this barrel and a little cruse of oil. And he said, go and do like you. And she says, I'll make it for me and my son, and then we're going to go die. He says, well, I tell you what, you go ahead and make some for you and your son, but first make some for me. The first time I heard that, I was really upset because I thought, how could that man say that knowing that's all she had? But then when I realized that what it was her taking care of God's business first, that opened up a whole new avenue to me. He said, you take care of God's business first, and then God will handle your business. And so she made one more to him first, and from that, for the rest of the family, whenever she went to that barrel, there was always a handful, always a handful, always a handful. And the lesson there is you take care of God's business, and he'll take care of yours. Amen? Now, and then in 2 Kings chapter 4, this is a widow of a prophet or a preacher. He died, and they made ends meet. And so they were going to take her two sons and throw them in the debtor's prison. And so here comes the prophet again and says, watch you guys. She says, we've got nothing but this little cruse of oil. And the Hebrew is anointing oil. This anointing oil. So all they got left is anointing oil. He says, I'll tell you what. Go to all your neighbors, walk away, all the vessels you can borrow, shut the doors, and then just start pouring out a little vessel. And as she started pouring out of the vessel, she filled all the pots and all the vessels. She filled them all. He said, now I want you to take them and sell it, pay off your debt, and live the rest off of what you have left. It's amazing. You see, God can fill your, the lesson is, God can fill your emptiness, and he can make you productive again. Amen? And then, here we go. We're trying to hurry. Well, I don't get too much in a hurry. Turn to Luke chapter 1. chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. Amen? So watch this. Here's the lesson. Sometimes God will interrupt your plans. And you're going, that's not how I got it all figured out. I had everything figured out how this was going to go down. I planned for it, I saved for it, I worked for it, I had it all figured out. And whoo, the rug's pulled up under your feet. But you see, sometimes God will interrupt your plans for something greater. You may not know it at the time, but something greater is coming. And even though it doesn't seem to make sense, eventually it will. Amen? And then, one more, I promise, the woman at the well. Now, John 4:29. This woman, Jesus told his disciples, I need y'all to go into the city and find us something. Y'all go to McDonald's and go find us some Big Macs. Okay, y'all go on, look for some food. And so he goes along and he sits at the well. Now, this is in the heat of the day. Back in that day, all the women would go to the well in the morning time when it was cool because you had 5 gallon pitchers. And they would put them on their shoulders and they would walk with them. So this heavy walked around with 5 gallon pitchers of water and coming back and forth and making trips. So you had to do it in the cool of the day. But here's a woman who is despised by everybody. Despised. She's despised. She's rejected. She's had 5 husbands and the 6th man she's with is not her husband. And so here she is and Jesus comes up to her and he says, Can I get some water? And she says, If you knew who I was, you wouldn't be asking me. He says, Ho. He says, I know who you are. You have 5 husbands, and the 6th one you got is not your husband. She goes, Whoa. He says, And if you'd have known me, you'd ask me, and you'd find out that I can give you water that you've never even heard of before. And God touched her that day. She got salvation that day because she met the 7th man. Number 7. And she went back and she said, Come see a man. She became an evangelist. Come see a man that told me everything I ever did. God will meet you where you are, but he'll never leave you the same. Wow. And I see those guys that pay attention all the time. I say, Look, God sees you're here. You think God doesn't see that you're here? Do you think that he's going, Where'd I put them? Where'd they go? I said, No, I will tell you something that was kind of funny. Chuckling. They changed my blood pressure medicine. And because they changed my blood pressure medicine, all I had to scratch my arm and it puts these big old, bloody stuff. And I got my arm. I was working on the lawnmower and I just had to scrape my arm on the carriage underneath and I come in and blood was everywhere. And Linda said, I told you not to work on the lawnmower when it's on. And I said, I had the batteries pulled out of it. I just scraped it. She said, Well, look like you cut your arm off. I said, No, it's that crazy blood pressure medicine. And then the next day I was doing something, and I run my arm sweater against the wire or something. And when I come out, I had this really big spot right here. So the next day I go to the kid detention center, and I'm sitting with all these heroin addicts. And it's getting hot, and I got my own sleeves on, so I go, Whoo. And they couldn't listen to me, they just started looking at my arms. I'm not just a president here, I'm a member too, but that's it. I said, fellas, I didn't shoot up before I came here. I promise you, it's the blood pressure medicine. They went, oh, okay. All right, I know. You had to be there. Really fun. At least it's me. Okay. So you're in. You're in. Here we go. Here we go. 10. Listen to this now. 10 awesome women. 10 awesome women. I love this. 10 awesome women who have been there, done there. Come on. Tighten up. They've been there, they've done that, and they shared it with others. I promise you, your mother's got things to share with you too. Amen? I promise you that. So look, here it is. Thanks, Mom. That's what you're going to give my mom. We can do this without music. I promise you, we can do it. If it doesn't have music, we can do it without. Everybody got a head bowed, your eyes closed. There was a lot of lessons. There was 10 lessons we saw today. I think about our lives, and as I was doing this sermon, I honestly, every last one of them, I could put myself in every last lesson. And I'm pretty sure that you could put yourself in many, if not all, of the lessons. Right now, what I'd like for you to do is I want you to think about, especially when you're going through something, thinking nobody's ever been here before, I'm the only one, I want you to look and think about these women and know that God's got you. Sometimes things don't turn like you planned. Sometimes things you just have to really, really stretch to get it done. But God always provides. Always provides. Always provides. I want you to put your hands up right now. I'm just going to pray for everybody. Father, I love you. I praise your name. If there's somebody here today that does not know you in the fullness of salvation, I pray that they will before we leave. If there's someone here today that needs a special touch from you, I pray that you give it to them. And God, I know, Lord, that you got our best interest at your heart. And when we cannot see your hand, we can always trust your heart. And we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, let's say this together, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.